Panama. A talk given by the Venerable Dr. K. Sri Damananda Nayakacharya at the University of Malaya.
We always talk about karma, but many people have not yet realized the real meaning of this concept from the Buddhist point of view. Generally speaking, karma, or karma in Sanskrit, means action. But the Buddha did not merely want to connote action when he introduced this word. So we can ask, then what is karma? Where is it? How do we perform karma? And how do we experience good and bad results according to our own karma? Many people still do not know the answer to these questions, but simply say that is our karma, or it is due to our karma. They do not know the nature of karma. They do not know how they accumulate karma. They do not know where this karma is deposited. They do not know what are the other forces behind their karma. These are the important aspects that we have to discuss. In the Buddha's teaching, it is mentioned, I am constituted according to my karma. Karma is my inheritance. Karma is the matrix. Karma is my refuge. Whatever karma I perform, be it good or bad, to that I shall be heir. We must reflect upon this again and again. We commit a lot of good and bad karma or actions during our lifetime. At the same time, there are good and bad karma which we have accumulated during our previous births, but which we are not aware of. We can commit certain karma unintentionally without willfully deciding to commit such things in our life. That means we commit certain actions accidentally. According to Buddhism, such actions or karma do not belong to this category, which produces reactions to influence in the next life. However, there are certain religions which preach that every action done by man, whether intentionally or unintentionally, results in a reaction which must befall the doer. The Buddha rejected this belief. He used the word karma for volitional activity. Volitional activities mean the things that we do intentionally, whether they are good or bad. Thoughts in themselves do not create karma to produce good or bad effects. They merely influence the mind to do more karma. Some people believe that as soon as a thought appears in the mind, it accumulates certain karma. That idea is not correct. Although there are some evil thoughts that by themselves can create bad karma, all the other thoughts only create mental pollution and thus hinder a person's progress along the Noble Eightfold Path. Here, mental pollution means disturbance of the calmness of the mind or the purity of the mind. There are three evil thoughts that the mind can create bad karma. The first one is a strong craving for others' property and waiting to see the end of others to get their property, whether it belongs to their parents or their relatives or friends. When people people develop such strong and undesirable cravings, they can disturb others to get what they want. That is poisonous craving. That thought itself creates bad karma. The second is illness. We should know the difference between anger and illness. When we harbor grudge, hatred in our mind to harm others, that is called ill will or hatred. That evil thought is also a bad karma. But mere anger is an emotional mental force in man's mind. When it suddenly flares, it is called anger. We can use this anger for bad purpose and good purpose as well. Take for instance, parents who lose their temper and show their anger when their children do not listen to their advice. Then they show their temper and sometimes beat them. What is the motive of that anger? Not to harm them, but to train them properly, not to commit bad or evil, wicked things, and teach them to lead a respectable and useful life. Therefore, that type of anger cannot be regarded as ill will to create a bad karma. Of course, even this kind of anger is not to be encouraged, because it pollutes the mind, but it does not produce any karmic reaction of the kind we are discussing. Then, the third one is wrong belief or concept as right thought. This category is more harmful than the others. Those who hold such beliefs do not want to analyze or to reason whether their beliefs are right or wrong. They cling to such views strongly, but an unbiased man can understand that they are meaningless and ridiculous. As long as people stubbornly maintain such beliefs, correct understanding never appears in their mind. Because of this overriding wrong mental attitude, all their actions, words, and attitudes can result in many mistakes, and they are harmful to others. They become fanatic, especially if their beliefs are based on religion. Even though the futility or danger of their beliefs may be pointed out, they do not want to surrender. They maintain it is their tenets of belief, which therefore must be maintained. When we come to know that our beliefs are wrong, we should not cling to it. We can understand this by using our common sense and maintaining an open mind regarding our beliefs. We must understand that everything is subject to change, and as such, what they have seen true in one circumstance may not be true in another. If we are not prepared to listen to others, it will be very difficult for us to gain real wisdom or realizing. These are the three kinds of bad karma which can produce immediate effect or be stored to produce reactions later. They are omitted by the mind. What is the definition of karma? The Buddha says, Chetanam Bhikkhave Kamma Vada. So according to the Buddha, our Chetana creates karma. Here Chetana means volition. activities. That means the idea which appears in the mind to do something, either good or bad, but idea itself cannot produce karma. When we use our thoughts through the mental faculties, senses, words and actions, karma formation takes place. Until we actualize them, mere thoughts cannot create a complete karma for which we can experience the effect. First, we have to create the idea. Then, consciously use the mind to commit the action which follows, and only will it become a karma. This is how karma is created. We know that it is impossible for us to do anything without using our mind. So, there is a mental current that works through our physical body and persuades us to do something. If that action is wrong, and if the idea is involved either with selfishness or hatred or ignorance, it will become a bad habit. On the other hand, if the idea is free from evil thoughts and the action is good, it will become a good karma. Karmic energy is like gravity or conservation of energy. They are natural and unbiased. We cannot see this karmic energy, but can experience its effects. Carl Jung, a famous psychologist, explained that there is collective consciousness in man's mind. In our mind, there is an unknown and submerged mental faculty, which is called accumulated consciousness. In Mahayana Buddhism, it is introduced as Alaya Vinyana, a storehouse of consciousness. The Theravada school of Buddhism does not accept this kind of state of mind. Somehow or the other, they have overlooked it, and Abhidharma does not support the idea of a storehouse of consciousness, but modern psychology also support the existence of this consciousness. Mahayana Buddhism explains that this storehouse of consciousness is influenced by the noble mind, and through hypnotism, people get into a trance and reveal many unheard and unknown things from this storehouse. We can regard them as our own karma, which we have accumulated in that subconscious mind. Now, when we are going to die, the five senses do not function in the normal way and find it difficult to influence the normal consciousness. This is when the normal consciousness becomes passive and the subconscious mind influences the normal mind to grasp some point in the depository and hold on to information from that storehouse of consciousness. At this moment, consciousness is dependent on the subconscious mind and grasp any thought impression, whether it is good or bad. This thought impression can be one of innumerable thoughts that we have deposited either within this lifetime or in one of our previous births. Remember, if we have not accumulated a strong, good or bad karma, karma within this lifetime, then what will be the destiny of our next life after our death? Since we have more than enough good and bad previous karma in our storehouse of consciousness to influence the normal consciousness, rebirth can take place according to one of those past life karmic forces. For example, a child who died immediately after his birth without accumulating any good or bad karma within this lifetime can grasp one of those karmic thoughts which he has accumulated in the past life. So, the fate of that child depends on the previous karma. This is the nature of karma. Modern psychologists also are now paying more attention to the Buddhist psychology and what the Buddha has explained 2,500 years ago. Earlier I have told you that mind itself cannot create karma until we put our ideas into action. But as long as we create certain good or bad thoughts, we create mental purity or impurity according to our thoughts, which in turn affect our actions. This state of the mind is known as kusala citta or a skillful thought, and akusala citta or unskillful thought, which creates mental purity or pollution. This state of mind later creates kusala or akusala karma or good and bad karma. At the same time, three occasions are important in our mind to experience the full effect of the karma completed by us. They are at the beginning, the process of doing it, and after completing. The effect of the karma depends on how far we have developed our good or bad thoughts during these three stages of the mental state. I also mentioned that many other karmas that we perform unintentionally without any interference with moral or immoral. The effect of such karma or actions we may experience within this life only. Karma is not the only way for required to produce a life. The belief that karma alone can create a life and everything in life is solely dependent on karma is wrong. Karma is not the only force to maintain our life, either peacefully or to suffer in this world. We should not just blame our karma when we are in the trouble, or thank our karma when we are happy. Karma is only one of the factors to produce a life and to effect some changes in our life. According to Buddhism, there are five factors which contribute to the formation of a life. Karma is one of them. Karma is an energy. But there are many other factors which cooperate with this karmic energy. Only then does the karma become active to create a life. What are these five factors? They are known as niyama dhamma, five orders or processes. We have learned that karma is one of them. The next one is citta, mental energy, which is influenced by the senses and mental objects. dismantle capital is the most important aspect among all the others. We use only one English word for three Pali words. It's the mana vinyana. That is why it is difficult to get a real understanding of the nature of our mind. Chitta is the initial stage of the mind. The Buddha has mentioned in one of his discourses that in its natural state, our mind is very bright and not polluted. But later, we allow all sorts of mental impurities to occupy it and pollute purity. Then, the second stage is called mana. Mana is an advanced state of the mind. Do you know why you are called man? The word man is derived from the Sanskrit word mana. One who has a mind to think is called man or manasa. So, human beings have a mind to think. If we do not use our mental faculty to think as men, there is no difference between men and animals. If you can think to reason out and to understand, then we are real men. That is the advanced stage of our mind. Finally, there is vinyana, higher than the others. Vinyana or consciousness is a further development of the mind. Mind can be used through the five senses and mental objects for various purposes. The five senses bring contact with good and bad objects. Then the mind starts to reason out and to accept certain things and to reject certain things according to the state of development of the senses of reason. Now, mind can function very rapidly. This is a big burden to the mind. Mind can experience the difficulty of maintaining peace or calmness every fraction of a second. One of these senses brings in certain objects and disturbs the mind. Some impressions are good and some are bad. Here good and bad means whether they are results in harm or good to us. Whether they are good or bad, pollute the purity of the chitta or mind. When the chitta or mind is in a present state, it is like crystal clear water which is not polluted. Let us take 2 glasses of water and put some mud into one glass and orange juice into the other. This glass of orange is useful to us, but the glass of muddy water is not drinkable. Therefore, we regard one is good and the other one is bad. At the beginning, water was pure. But we have polluted the purity of the water by adding good and bad things according to our like and dislike. That means worldly things, whether good or bad, pollute the purity of the mind and disturb its original state. That is why the meditation is important to prevent this impurity by the mind and to relax. Detach the mind from the five senses and imagination. Then calmness and purity can be maintained. Otherwise, it will be difficult use the mind for spiritual development. Remember, mind is responsible for everything. Mind is the forerunner, said the Buddha. The whole world moves as a result of this mental energy. In fact, matter is nothing but crystallized energy. Nothing can move in this world without mental energy. When we go on analyzing everything in this universe, finally, we have to end our analysis because no one can go beyond energy. Mind is the stronger because it represents intelligent energy. This mental energy can be channeled for good or bad purposes. That is why mental training is very important. When we have trained, developed it, purified it, we can achieve anything in this world. We can understand the real nature of the universe. The ultimate purpose of our life can be found. There is no force in this world which changes so rapidly as the mind. That is why it is very difficult to control. At each moment, we determine either to do something or not to do something. But the very next moment, we change our mind and work against our previous decision. This mental attitude goes on constantly. The third factor of the citta is bijanya, that germinal order or seed to cooperate with the other energies. Germs alone cannot produce the life without the cooperation of other factors. The fourth one is uttuniya, seasonal order, heat, wind, and rain. For everything, there is a time. Certain fruits and flowers can be seen only during certain seasons. At the same time, the conception in the mother's womb also takes place during a certain period. Dharma niyama is the last of the factors and has the function of consciousness of the existing universal law, natural phenomena, and cosmic order. We are part and parcel of this cosmic order. If there are no such natural laws, it is impossible for us to exist in this world. So this cosmic law is another factor to produce a life. Now, you can understand that karma is one of the factors which are necessary for our existence. Can we change the karmic result? The belief that we cannot change our karma is wrong. The Buddha has pointed out how to overcome a bad reaction of a bad karma that we have done due to our ignorance or misunderstanding or any other cause. Therefore, it is not necessary to be frustrated, thinking that it is too late, although we have done some evil deeds. We have many chances to correct ourselves. The previous birth stories of the Buddha give good example of how he has committed mistakes and offenses on many occasions, and how he returned to his normal life and continued his spiritual journey until he gained his enlightenment. We must know how to use our human effort and moral development to overcome certain bad karmic results. The method to overcome the bad is of our wrong action is not simply by worshipping, praying to anybody, or performing rites and rituals, or repenting, but by doing more good deeds. Today, science and technology are advanced and discovered various methods to change the human way of life. Those who were born as retarded children or those were disabled and many other unfortunate living beings can be relieved of their miseries and suffering through science and technology. By adopting modern techniques, people can improve the way of life of the crippled and the blind, the deaf, and many others who suffer deformities. Science has discovered many things to normalize their way of life. That is why the Buddha always gives credit to man's intelligence. You have heard that there is no stronger power in this world than the man's intelligent mental force. Man may discover many more things in time to come. So far he has discovered only a fraction of the universe. Many more natural forces and resources can be discovered, similar to electricity and atomic energy. Scientists have discovered the existing energies and elements and utilize them for the benefit of the mankind. But long before then, the Buddha discovered the Dhamma or the truth, the nature of the world, the nature of the universe, the nature of this life, which others could not discover or understand in proper perspective. Here, Dhamma means the existing universal law. The Dhamma exists and will continue to exist forever, but the understanding capacity of the nature of the Dhamma may disappear from man's mind. If he continues only with material pursuits, unless, like the Buddha, he stresses the importance of morality, concentration, and wisdom. The karmic result can also be affected by natural phenomena, war, flood, fire, famine, volcanic eruption, and earthquake. All those who enjoy their life due to good karma can suffer during such disasters. These evil forces change man's way of life. Then, again, certain internal elements change the reactions of certain karma. The influence of certain planets and other factors are also responsible to change the karmic result. They are time, birth, complexion, and intelligence or effort. Any of these can change the reactions of good and bad karma, but not great karma. However, it may be, if this is unfair, when those with good karma have suffered, the answer is that even karmic forces are subject to the universal law of nature. Although the reactions may have been arrested for the time being, karmic forces follow the doers. What really happens is only postponement of the reaction within this lifetime. We should not think that we are completely free from the reaction. It is up to you to decide which way is better, whether to face the consequences and finish within this lifetime or to carry forward for the next life. Take for instance, when the resistance power in your body which readily a few germs that enter into your body can create some sickness. When the doctors give an injection or antibiotic tablet to kill all the bacteria or germs, you can get rid of your sickness. On the other hand, if you are suffering from certain sicknesses due to one of your previous bad karma, sometimes it is difficult to escape from your sickness completely. At the same time, there is no guarantee that the same sickness which was cured will never appear again, although you could manage to arrest it at the moment. So, the forgiveness of sins or bad karma from the Buddhist point of view is not the eradication of the effect of evil deeds, but postponement of the effect. Therefore, karmic effects follow you just like your shadow. Whenever the chance arrives, certain worldly conditions influence karmic force to affect you. This is the nature of our worldly life. This is the universal law of karma. Assume that a murderer had the chance to escape from punishment by using his intelligence, authority, wealth, and many other resources. After that, he may think that he will be free from the bad effects of his evil deeds. Although he escaped from the punishment within this lifetime, nobody knows about his fate in the next life. That is why sometimes we can see some innocent people get into trouble and suffer. Although some people have not done any offenses within this life, we can see that they have to face many kinds of suffering or misfortune. For example, we read of innocent people being accused or murdered and being sentenced to life imprisonment or even death. When such people are in trouble, they start to grumble and accuse others, asking why they should suffer like this. They do not know the real story. This is the result of the karma that we have arrested earlier or during our past life. When we are weak, bad karma gets a chance to affect us. When we are normal, good karma operates with us. As long as we remain within this cycle of birth and death, karmic forces also follow us and affect us. This applies not only to ordinary people like you and me, even holy, perfect, religious teachers, yes, even the Buddha and Arahanta are not free from the reactions of the bad actions and the good actions that they have accumulated during their previous birth. As long as this physical body exists in any part of the universe, it is subject to either to suffer or to experience pleasure according to good and bad karma. That is why the Buddha has said, it is very difficult to understand the real nature of karma. Even the Buddha also had to suffer from 12 kinds of sicknesses due to certain bad karma, what he has done during the previous birth. And conversely, even poorest beggars are not totally miserable all the time. They also enjoy peaceful, contented moments, however limited their good karma. One example of this is perhaps the story of the famous elephant man in England, who was so ugly that he was treated worse than an enemy. Yet, as a result of his good karma, he was protected by a scientist in later years, and he enjoyed comfort and kindness until his death. No one can exist in this world, even for a short period, without accumulating certain good and bad karma. We are bound to this world because of our attachment, inclination towards worldly. Our craving is the main cause for that. Because we like to enjoy, we like to please our senses. If we experience suffering, such rendering to our senses is the cause for it. Our existence in this world also takes place due to our craving. If you do not like to suffer, reduce your craving. Calm down your senses and desire instead of indulging. The Buddha says, the wise are restrained in body, in speech too, they are restrained. They are restrained in mind as well. Verily, they are perfectly restrained. Life is uncertain. Every moment, either physical or mental disturbances create fear and unhappiness. There are only three kinds of persons in this world who never accumulate any karma, either good or bad. They are the Buddha, the Paccheka Buddha, and Arahant, because they have uprooted the craving from their minds and completed their journey. In our case, although we try to control our craving, the root of the craving still remains in the mind until we attain same. This situation will prevail. Defilement remains in the mind as long as we exist in this cycle of birth and death. When the complete purification is achieved, we will be free from this problem. Why do we want marriage or good karma? It is for us to lead a comfortable, worldly life here and hereafter. But in the case of the Buddha and Arahanta, marriage are not important for the next existence, since they have eradicated their craving for pleasure and craving for existence again. Some people cannot understand why the Buddhas and Arahantas do not accumulate good karma, since they do lot of good deeds. Their good deeds never produce any worthy karma, since they have no craving in their mind. Without craving, no one can create either good karma or bad karma. This is the nature of karma. The karma that we accumulate influence us to be born as fortunate or unfortunate living beings. This is the nature of our worldly karma. The effect of karma is to provide a comfortable, very happy, contented life if they are good, or to create suffering if they are bad. But such karmas are very uncertain. We exist for a certain period and produce some good and bad results and thus. So we go on accumulating and spending good and bad karma as long as we exist. Then these karma again cause stress existence, which creates more karma and so on. Almost every day, We are struggling to get rid of our problems. Even then, how many of us are leading a peaceful life? What would be the situation if we commit more evil or less sudden? We must try to eradicate defilement from our minds, because greed, hatred and ignorance are the main causes of our problems. At the same time, we must accumulate more good karma by reducing our greed, to maintain contentment, to control our hatred or cruelty, to develop kindness or compassion. We should wipe out illusion or ignorance to have a better understanding or to maintain purity in the mind. We must practice patience and tolerance to create a pleasant and peaceful atmosphere, not only for ourselves, but for our fellow beings.